It is probably here you want to leave the horses, One Eye.
All right, Sleeps and Day. The rest we go by foot. Dean, you stay here and watch over the animals.
No!
I'm not asking you, boy. I'm telling you to stay and guard the horses for us.
No, Dad! I've had enough of being left out of the action all the time!
Ryan closed his good eye for a moment and struggled to control his anger and failed. He knocked his son clean off his feet.
God damn it, Dean! This isn't some fucking game!
The boy got unsteadily to his feet, unshed tears glistening in his dark eyes. The livid mark of his father's fingers flared on his cheek. His hand fumbled for the butt of his big Browning high power.
Bastard!
You draw that and I'll kill you, Dean. You're my son and I love you deeply, but never ever go for a gun against me. And don't ever argue with me when I tell you to do something, you hear me? Someone has to stay with the animals in case there's a sneak attack looping around us. You're good with the horses and you're quick and alert. I trust you with this, Dean.
You're always giving me shit jobs!
That's not true. You don't have the age or experience or simple physical skill for some situations. But that isn't the case here. You're the best choice for this.
The boy turned from his father, his face sullen, his narrow shoulders slumped. Christy reached and touched him on the arm, but he pulled away from her.
You have a choice, Dean. If you believe what you say, then leave us now. Go away on your own and don't come back.
Dean looked up into her green eyes and flushed.
You mean that, don't you?
Of course I do. I wouldn't lie to you, Dean. I know Ryan is telling the truth. There isn't time to go into this. So do like he says, but without looking so pissed. Or don't do it at all and go off on your own.
Dean hesitated, looking around, face by face. Mildred nodded to him. Jack gave no clue at all what he was thinking, his crimson eyes steady on the younger boy.
Doc?
The difficult part of growing up to be a man, Dean, my boy, is that being a man comes along a little before you're quite ready for it, and before you quite understand what it all involves. We all learn that.
Ryan looked down at his crown.
There's no time for any more of this.
Not just a matter of doing it. You've traveled long enough with us to know that. You do it. Do it as well as you can, and in the right mood. Sit here feeling sorry for yourself and you won't pay attention. Could mean you get chilled. Could mean we all get chilled.
I understand. Sorry, Dad.
And I'm sorry, too, for losing my temper. I'm not proud of that, Dean.
The boy held out his hand, and his father shook it firmly, grinning at his son.
I'll do it good. I promise.
All of the horses, including the pinto ponies and the mule, were tethered in a dense copse of sycamores, 100 yards east of the overgrown blacktop. Ryan glanced back once, seeing that Dean had his blaster drawn and was cautiously patrolling just inside the perimeter of the trees, keeping a good watch. Ryan lifted his right hand in a farewell wave and watched the boy respond. The layout of the J.C. Wright Caverns proved to favor the attackers. The blacktop dropped, then rose again quite steeply toward a low single-story building on the ridge ahead of them. Then it cut down to the right and vanished around the flank of a frost-shattered bluff. The trail of the Warwag's wheels followed on past the building, out of sight. With the death of Man Sees Behind Sun, the group had lost their best tracker. But the marks were so clear that even Doc could have followed them.
Not even feet that way. Looks like they got their main entrance around the back there.
Could there be a way in through that house, Armorer?
I'm guessing that must once have been the main visitor center for the caves.
Possibly, Dr. Wyeth, possibly.
Don't risk coming off the fence, Doc. If it is the visitor center, then I'd expect there to be an entrance to the caverns close by. Maybe an elevator, or maybe a path from above. I visited Carlsbad and I... Yeah. There was an elevator. Took you to the heart of the place. But a lot of people preferred to walk down a path. Maybe this is the same.
Only one way to find out.
The clouds had cleared away. It was turning into a beautiful day. The only darkness was a bank of purple far off to the south, lurking over the Grandee. The sunshine was bright, drawing the moisture from the ground, leaving a residual humidity that was fast burning off. Once they'd left the blacktop, Ryan felt a sense of safety. It was as though the general and his forces had nothing to do with this particular part of the complex. Ryan turned to Christy, close at his side.
You feel anything, lover?
Christy's fiery hair was clamped tight around the back of her neck, a sure sign that there was serious danger in the air. but she smiled at Ryan.
Sure. It's close. But it's not that close. I felt it right up until we quit the highway. The evil lies in that direction, but not up here.
It looks like that diner we visited. As though nobody's been there for 100 years. No broken windows or anything. Like it was patiently sitting here, just waiting for us.
Perhaps like the notorious house of Roderick Usher.
And what walks inside the caverns walks alone.
What?
The Navajo were tightly bunched together. Since the agreement to go to the visitor center, none of them had spoken a single word. The glass in the long windows that ran the length of the front of the building was tinted black, shutting out some of the bright New Mexico sunlight. It also made it utterly impossible to see inside the center.
Could be 50 men with grenade launchers watching us from in there.
Thanks for that cheerful thought, John. Well, are we going in or not?
We're going in.
The air inside had the familiar Deathlands tang to it. It tasted like nobody had breathed it for a century. There was a flatness to it, a deadly stuffiness, as if one were swallowing lumps of sun-dried cotton.
Welcome to the J.C. Wright Caverns.
Christy looked around her at the shattered expanse of the atrium.
All we need now is to find that unforgettable experience that they promised us.
I'd like to find some food. My backbone's rubbing through my belly.
Nobody been here.
Jack moved across the dusty floor, so light that his feet hardly seemed to leave any mark.
Nobody. For having a day.
Split up and check it out. Sleeps and Day should be away from here down into the caves. Away down to the general.
JB walked past the information desk by a row of darkened vending machines. Nobody spoke. The low-ceilinged building, as silent as an Egyptian tomb.
Welcome to the J.C. Wright Cavern. The unforgettable starts now.
Everyone dove for the nearest cover. Ryan found himself flattened under a long bench that was covered in some kind of artificial deer skin. The Sig Sauer was in his right hand, the stire tied across his shoulders, where the strap had snagged awkwardly as he moved.
What the fuck was that?
So much to do and so much to see. Fun and education for everyone from 9 to 90. Want to know more? Just select the topic and I'll be glad to oblige.
God, that brings back memories. Someone sing It's a Small World after all.
Nearly won the Order of the Brown Trousers there. You can relax. It's a machine.
It was like the voice of the night spirits.
Everyone was standing up, brushing off dust.
I must have triggered it by standing close. Amazing the storage battery still hold enough power to operate it.
Can I make it work?
Ryan holstered the blaster.
I guess so, doll. The general must be way out of hearing.
Christy quickly joined JB in front of a blank-screened console.
No picture.
No, Christy. Guess that part of it malfunctioned back in the long winters.
Should I press one of these buttons? This says food facility. I'll press that.
Want to know about eating, partner? But I'm your man. Best burgers you ever tasted. Teriyaki burger, Mexicali burger, with the hottest chili that ever blistered your lips. Kazoo burger and Zapata burger and Jim and Carla's Super burger. You asked for it and you got it. With melts and subs and dogs and slushes and sodas and 37 tongue-tingling flavors. It ain't just star-toppling, partner. It's downright apocalyptic.
You just had to pick the food message, didn't you?
You want me to try another one, lover? Here's one for the gift shop.
I beg you to let it lie, dear lady. Having heard about the range of edibles on offer, I believe I can imagine what attractions the gift shop will have for us. Handcrafted genuine kachinas from Taiwan. Genuine mica wind chimes from Brazil. Genuine pinon candles from Toronto.
What's Rano, Doc?
Toronto, sweet youth, was a Canadian conurbation. The Naples of the North, the Venice of the tundra, where culture ends and the frontier begins. Through its rooms the women come and go, talking of the place called Toronto.
Doc rubbed his hand across the silver stubble that decorated his cheeks.
Or should that have been Michelangelo? I do not quite remember.
The others had all gathered around the silent machine, looking at its controls.
It might help if it told us the way down into the caverns.
By gads, what was I thinking? Me and my digressions.
One button's called How to Get There at the top.
Should I press it, Ryan?
All right, JB.
It is always better to leave the thing sleeping that should not ever be woken.
What choice do we have, two dogs fighting? Go ahead and press it, JB.
Here goes nothing.
You come here for the miracles below the ground. There are a lot of ways of getting there. A pair of rapid velocity elevators situated at the eastern end of the visitor center. To the heart of the crystal room, and the other to the dry ocean. The large illustrated map by the side of the information desk will show your position location-wise. For the sturdy-hearted and strong-shoed, there is the mile and one-quarter winding path. Past the exit orifice of the Nightly Bat's spectacular flight. This is not easy. It's the opposite.
Is that it? Then we must take this long and winding path.
Bats
are real messy at keeping house. So I have the assembly in your mouth. Injections available, but call the medical to climb aboard anyone you see touching the stones inside. Experience
the pass over here.
A failure. There's no need to worry as emergency nuke lights throughout the caverns.
Good news about having some emergency lights down there. Let's keep everything crossed it works all right. Otherwise, it's going to be a dark highway.
There were low walls on both sides of the winding pathway, with a bright yellow line down its center, making it simple for them to follow. They emerged briefly into the open, at the top of what looked like an almost sheer drop toward the black mouth of the caves, but the trail zigged and zagged in an easier pattern.
This must be where the bats come out at night.
Ryan stared out into the black funnel of rock.
Yeah. See the marks on the walls? Generations of shit down there. Hope we don't have to wade through it.
Sleeps and Day joined them.
One Eye.
Yeah?
If there are no lights, then we shall not follow. We will return and pursue the marks of the wags. Perhaps hold them between us like the horns of the buffalo.
Sure. Whatever.
The lights were working. A string of flickering yellow bulbs set along the right-hand wall of the path gave just enough illumination to follow the painted marks.
Dr. Wyeth, are we off to see that wonderful wizard?
How's that, Doc?
Why, promenading down the yellow brick line.
Sure, Doc. We're easing on down the road.
Christy walked close enough to Ryan for him to be able to catch the familiar scent of her body.
I wish that there was proper lighting so we could appreciate what this place really looks like.
You've seen one goddamn cave and you've seen them all. I'd just be glad to get to the other side and meet up with a general and chill him. Steal his wagon, drive back to Jack's place. And then jump on again.
Always jumping on again, lover.
I know, babe.
Mildred tried rationing the remaining contents of her water canteen.
There's not much left. Do you think this general's going to let us have our pick of his supplies?
Doc was finding that the constant up and down of the narrow path tired him.
I have managed to make out many of the signs that tell us what wonders we are passing by. But all is lost in the deepest and most Stygian blackness. A great, great pity, is it not?
Jack was the only one there able to appreciate anything of the beauties of the caverns. The albino condition that seemed to have bleached all of the blood from his body had also left him with poor sight in the brightness of noon, but he saw well in the dark.
Boring, Doc. Stalactites and stalagmites, all they is. Got stoop names.
I observed that we passed by the Venetian gondola, the sleepy giraffe, which I could just glimpse and bore precious little similarity to any giraffe I ever saw. As for London Bridge and the endless embrace, well,
there is a map here.
Everyone settled up to Thomas Firemaker. He stood over a plan of the caverns, painted onto a sheet of clear plastic. In the dimness of the caves, the colors had hardly faded. The overhead emergency lighting was just strong enough for them all to be able to see the map. JB pointed with the muzzle of his Uzi at the top section, which showed the above-ground area of the caverns.
That's where we came in. There's the one elevator. The other one's not far ahead of us. And the underground eatery's there as well.
Jack ran his ivory finger across to the far side.
Look, says stores, personnel, private. That's the place.
Ryan considered it. He had always had an excellent sense of space and direction, something that had saved his life on several occasions. He could see the blacktop that had drawn them to the visitor center, and the way it continued around the far side of the caverns, where the tire tracks of the last of the general's wags had vanished.
Yeah.
Can we stop off at the restaurant?
Christie's green eyes seemed to shine in the gloom like molten emeralds. Ryan looked around.
I doubt there'll be any food worth risking. Though I guess it could just have survived in some forms. Maybe freeze-dried if there's anything like that. Been kept in a dim light and a constant cool temperature for all this time. It's on our way toward that area around back.
The doors of one of the elevators were wide open. The other stood slightly ajar, with a skeletal human arm protruding between them, the fingers hooked into claws. The remains of the nails were jagged and broken, black with old blood. Mildred stooped and peered at the sad relic.
Ooh, poor devil must somehow have gotten trapped in the elevator at the time of the missiles. Power went out and she, or he, couldn't get the doors open enough. What a miserable way to go.
Not many good ways to go in Deathlands, Millie.
That goes without saying.
Jack and three of the Navajo had already moved off, behind the serving counters and the cash registers, through the swing doors into the kitchen area. It was Two Dogs Fighting who emerged.
Fine cold water and packages of soup and other things to eat. It is good.
Probably got their own artesian well built in. Still functioning after all these years. Hey, Jack?
Jack stuck his head around the door.
Yeah?
Try mixing up some of the soup stuff. See what it smells like. See what it tastes like, but be triple careful.
Sure. Eating pre-doc stuff before. Not cans. Shit. Packages all right.
All right, people, we'll take an hour's break. Get a chance to rest after the walk. Eat, drink.
And be merry, for tomorrow we shall surely die.
No. Today is a good day for dying. We will see that.
Cordon Bleu Catering, this most definitely is not.
Doc pulled a face as he considered the green plastic bowl of cold, watery gruel on the table in front of him.
At least I don't think it'll poison you. Though it does taste like a mixture of camel piss and grit.
But it's very good camel piss, Mildred.
The meal was over. Ryan led the group along the path.
I wonder why the general and his men haven't bothered to explore this part of the caverns.
No need, I guess. Looks like the door through to the service part of the cave's just ahead of us there.
They were surprisingly solid, made from what seemed to be a good grade of sexsteel. They were triple deadbolts in the center, and massive bolts at the top and bottom. Their size and thickness went some way toward answering Christie's question.
Now it begins.